Let's pray. Father, we come to you today. Father, we just want to receive what you have for us today. Father, as we speak about living our lives, Father, we want to understand what it is that you want from us and what we need to do to accomplish the things that you have set before us. Father, we give you this time, and Father, we are open to you to receive the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to be reading the scripture in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. There's a little girl at work. Her mom works with me, and she was at work this week. When they work late night, sometimes the kids come up there and sit. And, I told her I was going to preach a sermon about running a race. And she told me, I know a funny joke about a race, so I'm going to tell you this joke. You can decide whether it's funny. To hear the joke about the lettuce and the tomato running a race, for a while the lettuce was ahead, but the tomato caught up, got ketchup. That was a kid's joke, but it was funny when she told it. That was a nice joke. I'm going to be in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. I'm going to read the first two verses in the 12th chapter. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." It seems kind of like an oxymoron type thing, where you talk about being in a race and being patient. I mean, that doesn't make sense. The idea to win a race is to get from the start to the finish as fast as you can. That's what a race is about. You start, you finish, you do it, whoever does it the fastest wins. I don't see where patience really comes in. Well, you have to understand there are several kinds of races. These sprint races that I'm talking about, that's exactly what they have to do. The moment that gun goes off, they have to go as fast as they can to get to that finish line. But there's also another kind of race, a marathon type race, that requires endurance and patience. You have to understand what the goal is. You have to have the desire. I can't imagine running a marathon. Running all those miles. Just, you know, it's such an amazing thing, and people do that. That's their desire. They choose that. But that race is different than a sprint. It's not something you go as fast as you can the whole time, because if you did, you would burn out before the race finished. Remember the fairy tale about the tortoise and the hare. The turtle challenged the rabbit to a race, and the rabbit thought that was the funniest thing he ever heard. "You're the slowest thing I can think of. Of course I'll race you." And you know the story of how the rabbit just took off. The course was plotted out, and they decided they would start the race here and finish it here, and the rabbit just took off. And of course, he went and played in the field and got a little tired, so he laid down and took a nap. He woke up and sprinted to the finish line, finding that the turtle was already there, because the turtle was steady.
Right.
Just keep going and going, never stopping, never quitting, was able to just endure, where the rabbit didn't have a plan. He didn't. He was just doing what he wanted, whenever he wanted to. He didn't have a goal to set out. And that's what the writer of Hebrews here is talking about here. James also talks about being patient. When he's writing James, fifth chapter, James talks about patience like this. He says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it, until he receives the early and later rain. Be ye also patient." See, the worker has to do, the farmer has to do his part, right? He has to work the field. He has to plow the field. He has to cultivate the land. He has to plant the seeds. But it's God that brings the harvest. That's what I was talking about with Mr. Rich. So often, we take credit for our hard work, but it's us and God together that brings forth the harvest. If we don't do our part, then God's not going to bring the harvest, or He's not going to bring it to us. He can go other places. The scriptures say, "You don't praise me, I'll make the rocks praise me." God can do anything. We do our part. We work the field. We do what we can do. But then we have to be patient, waiting on God to bring forth the harvest. We can't make God go any faster.
Nope.
That's not our responsibility. We have to be patient. Look at the life of Jesus. Jesus lived for 33 years. From the ages of 12 to he was 30, there's this 18 years there, and we don't know anything about Jesus. We call those years the hidden years. These are the times when Jesus was preparing himself to do those 3 years of ministry before he left. We look at that and say, man, there's so short a time that Jesus was here. What a waste for 18 years to be doing nothing. Jesus was not doing nothing. Luke describes it this way. Luke, the second chapter, verse 52, it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." These were the patient days, the patient weeks, the patient years for Jesus to learn, to grow, to practice, to study, to pray, to prepare himself for what God had called him to do. Those weren't wasted years. Those weren't years that were unproductive. Jesus was running with patience, waiting for the time for him to begin his ministry. Those were important times. We look on it and we see that nothing happened during those 18 years, and we are tempted to say that those were unfruitful times, but it wasn't. Jesus was preparing himself to be Jesus, to do what Jesus was called to do. Jesus was getting in step with God. Now Jesus begins his ministry. We see him take time to, often he'd go off alone and still pray. He's got 3 years here to prepare the world. And he is still being patient with what God has required him to do. He's steadily teaching the disciples and getting his message across to them so they'll understand it, sometimes through their thick skulls. You know, many times Jesus had to go over and over things for them. They just didn't get it. I can remember 1 minute, Peter says the things just right, and the next minute Jesus is saying, that's all wrong. You know, Jesus was always patient and always stepping forward. You know, it's amazing how many individual people that Jesus, he's got 3 years for this ministry. Now, there were a lot of people, a lot of crowds that came and pushed into him. But he was always patient with them. But he was also the Jesus that spoke to Bartimaeus and healed him. He was the woman. He spoke to the woman at the well. He forgave the adulterous woman. Jesus did all these things with people, with individuals as well. He never rushed through anything. He never was never panicked. He never got to the point where he's saying there's just too much to do and too little time to do it. He was always patient and in step with God. Paul, that's another situation altogether. There are many times where Paul was frustrated by undue delays and when plans were upset, when there were circumstances he couldn't control. Often Paul was rebellious and frustrated, and that frustration would turn into useless anger. You never saw Jesus do that. Finally, Paul was thrown into prison. And it was while he was in prison that he wrote the epistles to the people and to the churches there. He really expressed himself with his thoughts and what the way he was really feeling and his teachings. What if he hadn't written those? What if he had never been imprisoned in the first place and had to find a new way to express himself? We would have never had those. See, so often the delays and the roadblocks that we look at that get in our way, that causes us to slow down sometimes makes us stop altogether. are times when we are actually doing our best work. It's when, what is the case for Paul? It says over there in 2 Timothy, I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. When you look back at Paul's life, at the end of his life, you can see that he ended up running the race with patience, that he overcame his frustrations, his failures, his suffering, and he became patient, and he learned how to wait on the Lord in these lonely times that he was in that prison. What many people thought would be the death of him was actually when he did his best work. That's the same thing for us. So many times when feel like we have just been shut down, we have just been stopped, we have not been able to open the door, we need to just stop and wait on God. All through history, we see how this happens. You know, nobody invents something the first time. When somebody's going to invent something, it's 9 times out of 10, they have to do it over and over, and they fail with this, so they try something else, and then they try something else until they get it right. You have to be patient. You have to continue not to give up and not to quit. If you're going to do something great, it requires patience and fortitude and this attitude that you're not going to give up till you accomplish what it is you set out to do. If I were to ask you today, when we're talking about patience and going through suffering and trials, who's the first person you think of in the Bible?
Job.
We say all the time, I need the patience of Job. You know, Job's cattle were stolen, his children were killed, his wife left him, his friends turned their back on him, he got this terrible disease. Job found out what it was like going from the penthouse to the outhouse. Just like that. Overnight, it happened to him. But he kept his balance because he never questioned God. He never gave up on God. He knew that God had something special for him. And regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstances, he trusted God. He kept running the course with patience. Even appeared when there was little to run for, he stayed on course. It says in Job 42, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. God blessed Job with more than he had before it was taken away from him. He lived to be 140 years old. He was blessed.
That's right.
Patience. He's a wise teacher, but you know what? You have to learn patience. You're not born with it. You ever seen a patient baby?
No.
Baby wants a bottle, he wants it now. Baby wants to go to sleep, he wants to go to sleep now. He wants his diaper, or she wants their diaper changed, they want it now. They don't have patience. Patience has to be taught. Patience is not something that we're born with. It's not something that's inside of us.
No.
We as adults, as well as with children, we are guilty of wanting to know all the answers without even understanding the process. It doesn't do any good to give somebody the answer if they don't know how to solve the problem. Because that problem is going to come up again, and they're not going to have to know how to solve it because the answers were just given to them. Being patient, working through the problems, is an important part of learning. And we as adults need to understand that as well. It's not just children. We all just want the answers given to us. We all want to know the answers, but we don't really care about what the problem is. We just want the answers. Then there's this whole matter of pain and suffering and trying to have things our own way. We want to blame others for the problems that we have, and that just compounds itself when we just blame other people. Patience is the homework of life's learning. Being patient is letting us understand that, you know what, this too will pass.
Amen.
This too will pass. Things will get better. With patience, we can see that on the other side of the cloud, the sun is still shining.
Hallelujah.
With patience, we can understand that no matter how we feel about God, He still loves us. And that what Priscilla said here today, that it doesn't matter if we feel like God loves us, He loves us. His love didn't change for us. Once we learn to walk with patience and are able to continue to stay on course, eventually we're going to see that. For us to say that we are just people who blindly walk, just keep walking, not knowing what's going on, it's not who we are. But I'm telling you, there are moments, there's days, there's weeks, and maybe even years that you're going to live through. And you're going to look around and you see that all the pieces of the puzzle don't seem to be all here. We haven't got this figured out. It doesn't seem like it's going to work out. So what do? We wait on God. We be patient. We just keep steadily moving forward. And eventually, the answer is going to come to us, and the answer is going to be plain to us. The direction that God is sending us is going to appear to us, and we're going to understand it. We have to be patient. As your pastor, I would like to say to you, I have this unshakable faith in the providence of God. And I do. I believe there's nothing God can't do. But more often than not, that I want to admit, I've tried to hurry Him along a little bit on that. I've tried to get Him to speed up a little bit. I've tried to get Him to do things the way I want Him to do it. as our faith grows deeper, we're going to need to understand that God moves in mysterious ways. Our ways are not always His ways. Our wants are not always His will for us. So instead of becoming impatient and question God and make demands on God, learn to be patient. Learn to trust God. Know that He has the very best for you. And His desire for you is to prosper you, not harm you. That's His desire for you. When we learn it as people to trust God, when we learn to truly listen to God, He supplies the answers to our questions. He gives us direction where we need to go. He provides us and meets our needs every day. That's the kind of God we serve. But we have to be patient, trusting in the providence of an almighty God. Trusting Him. Being patient. Waiting. But not just standing back doing nothing. Do our part. We need to keep moving forward. We are to run the race, but with patience. Once we have learned this, once we accomplish this, we see that God is more involved in our lives than we ever dreamed He was. He's more active in our lives at times when we thought He was in the Bahamas. He is so involved in our lives and so intertwined with what we're supposed to be doing and what He's going to be doing, that when a door closes, another door opens up.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Or a window.
Some people call that luck. Some people call it faith.
But,
you know, many people call it hard work. What we call it,
blessing,
is the Holy Spirit moving.
Yes.
It's the guidance and direction of an almighty God. We need to run our race with patience. The scripture says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We've already got the route that we need to run. The race is set before us. We just need to get out there and run the race. Can't go here and there and here and there and expect to finish the race because we're all over the place. We need to steadily run the race. Just keep moving forward. Try not to move backwards. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we do seem to be going backwards instead of forwards. But don't give up. Don't quit. Just keep going. Have patience. Trust God. He set the table before us. We have refreshment for our journey, our race. He's given us the wisdom to run this course. Ask you today. Trust God today. Be patient in what's going on in your life. You know, I'm telling you, these times in your life that you think are so hard, you're going to look back and see, that was God doing this. That was God doing that. God was showing me this. God was showing me that. I would never be where I am today if I hadn't been through that. Trust God. Be patient. Keep moving. And understand the harvest comes because God gives it to us. Amen.
Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, come to you today. We understand that you have set a race before us. We need to keep our eyes on you, the author and finisher of our faith. Father, we need to be patient. This is not a sprint. Life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It requires us to be endurance. It requires us to have a plan. It requires us to have a desire to run this race. Father, we want all of that for ourselves right now. Father, we want to have all that in our life right now. We want that desire. We want that endurance. We want that faith that you established in us. Father, we're going to run this race with patience and stick-to-itiveness, and we're going to finish the race. Father, we're going to come to the end of the race, and then we can stand before you, Father, and you can say to us, well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Amen.
Father, we long for that day.
Yes, Lord.
Like when Paul was talking to us. These men were looking for the coming of Christ. And Father, we're looking for the coming of Christ today. But Father, we're going to be patient and be doing what you have for us to do, making this place ready to receive you and to receive us into your glory. Father, we thank you for the great group of people that are here today, Father, who are people who encourage one another and lift people up. And Father, I thank you for this group of people here today. Father, inspire them. Father, show them how much you love them, how much you care for them. Father, give them direction and purpose so they can keep steadily moving through the course that you have set before us. In Jesus' name, Father, I lift this prayer up to you.